Greetings. I am Shisada Akona Kamara, and welcome to Satsang with the Shambhala Center. You are beginningless. You are endless. You are divine.
Good evening, everybody. This is Shisada. Welcome to Satsang. I'm joined by Piela Yin. Not that I really need to say that anymore, but I will anyway, because I love to say her name. She's so pretty. Okay, I'm gonna ask you right now in the beginning of the program to bear with me if I yawn during the program. There must be a lot of clearing going on because I keep having to yawn, and that comes a lot when there's energetic clearing that happens. So I'm not the quietest yawner in the world. So if I happen to yawn, just know that there's energetic work going on tonight. All right, everybody, call yourselves forward. Take a nice deep breath for me. And we're going to do a short extra clearing meditation after the clearing. So when we finish, just stay in that space and follow along. Mother, Father, God, that I am, through the great central sun hierarchy, through the office of the Christ, through the order of Melchizedek, I call upon Archangel Michael to bring the sapphire blue ray. Cut away, cut away, cut away anything in all of our four lower vehicles not emanating directly from our I Am presence. I now call on Archangel Zachiel, Keeper of the Violet Flame. Blaze, blaze, blaze the Violet Flame through all of our four lower bodies. Transmute, transmute, transmute all the psychic debris Michael has cut free. I now bring forth the Invincible Ring Pass Knot and the Mirror Blue Light of Invisibility to completely surround each of us. And I call forth a shaft of pure Christ light to surround each one of us individually. And I ask that these shafts of light be brought to the center of the earth, where I call on Archangel Gabriel to seal them. And I ask that the legions of Michael completely surround each tube of light. And now I ask that our vibrations be raised high above the psychic and astral worlds to the highest realm of illumined truth we each can attain at this time. And now, Mother, Father, God, we place ourselves in service to you and to humanity. Kellyanne and I place ourselves in service to all of you listening to the program. We ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted into our perceptions and that all else of the lower mind be kept out. And we ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted through us. And because we have asked this, we consider it so. So be it. All right, we're going to do a chakra clearing tonight. So we're going to start at the base and work our way up to the crown. I'm just going to ask you to follow my voice and listen to what I'm saying. And if you're good at imaging things with your inner sight, this would be a good time to do that. Just follow along. Take a deep breath. I call on Archangel Gabriel. Gabriel, I ask you to breathe out the crystal white ray into our base chakras as we breathe it in. Take a deep breath. call on Archangel Zakiel. Zakiel, please breathe out the violet ray of our sacral chakra as we breathe it in. Take a deep breath. I call on Archangel Uriel. Uriel, please breathe out the mother of pearl ray to our solar plexus chakra as we breathe it in. And take a deep breath. And I'll call on Archangel Camuel. Camuel, please breathe out the pink ray for our heart chakras as we breathe it in. And now I call on our beloved Archangel Michael. Archangel Michael, please breathe out the blue-white ray into our throat chakras as we breathe it in. And another deep breath. And now we call on Archangel Raphael. Raphael, please breathe out the green ray into our third eye chakra while we breathe it in. And another deep breath. And now I want you to use your inner sight to see these beautifully qualified chakras that are clear and functioning as they should, from the base, crystal white in color, to your sacral, which is violet, to your solar plexus, which is mother of pearl, your heart, which is pink, the throat chakra, blue, white, your third eye, green. And now we will move to the crown chakra, which cannot be disqualified. And since everything is functioning beautifully as it should, now we can focus on the crown. And I call on Archangel Jophiel. Jophiel, please breathe out the golden yellow ray for our crown chakra as we breathe it in. And one last deep cleansing breath. And then bring your awareness back to the room. Beautiful. Lovely. PLN, do you have anything you want to say about that little exercise?
Sure. I don't want to come back. No. I just want to sit in deep meditation now. That was the Ray work, which I actually love doing. Do it pretty much every day. It helps to clear everything out, keep it cleared. Mm-hmm. But I do think we should, I know that you did speak to it once before, but we probably should explain again why we used those colors and not the colors that are commonly used for the chakras.
Yeah, this is that would be a good time to do it. And this is one of those things where it's just ignorance on, you know, the part of the people who do chakra work. When people who actually energetically see the chakras, what they don't understand is that what they're seeing is disqualified energy. So when they see, say, the base chakra as being red in color, they look to see that it's clear, but they don't understand that the color itself is telling you that that chakra is being disqualified. Okay. So this is not new information. This is quite old information. It just isn't really out there the way information on the chakras is. And I don't know why, but it just isn't. So once you have the understanding that the colors that you traditionally would associate with the chakras are their disqualified colors, then you come into another understanding that to continue to focus on that color is doing nothing to actually requalify it. It's just holding the disqualification in place. So the coloring is completely different. And as I walked you through it, you hopefully were feeling the energetic shift that was occurring for each chakra as we went in. And, you know, when we did the initial protection, we actually cleared everything, right? So Michael came in, he cut everything away. And then Zakiel came in with the violet flame and transmuted all of that. So you were kind of a clear slate at that point. And then that enabled us to then call in each archangel over each ray to come in and breathe it out as we breathe it in. It's this, remember, like we talk about how consciousness pulses. And I like to think of it this way, because you're asking in that moment that in the out breath, you know, the master or the archangel in this case is going to breathe it out. And on the in breath, we're taking it that they breathed out and now we're breathing it in. And it's this back and forth, which is really beautiful, because as we're breathing it in, it's pushing out the disqualified color and then that can be transmuted out. But we're breathing in the qualified color. So remember that the physical vehicle is certainly meant to be just as divine as everything else and non-polarized. And that was always the design. It's just that the energies, when they come in to the chakra, they come in perfect. And as soon as they hit the chakras, because of our identification with the personal self, as soon as they hit the chakras, they get disqualified. And then what we're actually moving out into the world is not... you know, you're created to be a co-creator with the divine from that place of divine perfection. So, you know, if we look at, we'll go to the base chakra. The base chakra is supposed to be about purity, right? Well, it gets disqualified. And when it's disqualified, it comes through as lust. It'll come through as, I guess what we would call like angry passion, right? And it's not meant to be that. It's meant to be a very pure, pure thing. And that's why, like people who get very rooted in their heart chakras, their lower three chakras function completely differently because they aren't disqualified anymore. So for them, for people who are very rooted in a disqualified base chakra, they function very much from that primal sexual thing, right? That whole like men just wanting to conquest, you know, be with as many women as they can. You know, it's all about sex, right? Well, when the heart chakra is activated and the lower chakras have been requalified, at that point, that base chakra does not function that way anymore. And so the whole energetic behind you know, sex completely changes for that person, because now it isn't about that. It's about the purity of intimacy, right? And the connection and the union that takes place there and how sacred that is. But when it's disqualified, there's nothing sacred about a disqualified base chakra, right? There just isn't. And so you could see that this is the point of having the knowledge of how the chakras actually are meant to function, and that you can go in and do this kind of clearing all the time. And this certainly isn't beginner's level stuff. Like when I start working with someone, this is not something that I would bring up right away or anytime soon, because there's so much work that has to come first. You can do work to requalify a chakra, but if you have no understanding of how to keep it in its qualified state, then what's the point of doing it? You see what I'm saying? I mean, you could requalify it, and then 20 seconds later, as soon as you walk out of the room, it just got disqualified again, and it's like nothing ever even happened. So there's I don't really know why I felt like I needed to bring it tonight, because this is really more advanced work. But it must be there was a reason. So here it is. So again, just to reiterate, in case you happen to have like a notepad with you, as we go through the chakras, I will give you the color, and I'm going to give you the Archangel and the Ascended Master, who both work over that particular ray. Okay, for every ray, there's an Archangel and an Ascended Master, and they work in unison together. So you could call on either one of them to do this work, wherever you're more comfortable. I always just seem to call on the Archangels, but you can call on the Masters as well. So the base chakra is the crystal white ray. It's actually the fourth ray. And the Archangel over that is Gabriel. I love Gabriel. And Master is Serapis Bey. For the sacral chakra, it's the seventh ray, which is the violet ray. Archangel Zachiel, of course, and of course, Saint Germain. You know both of them well, violet flame. And then we move to the solar plexus chakra. It's the sixth ray, which is Mother of Pearl. For those of you who aren't familiar with Mother Pearl, that's the inner lining of an oyster shell. So it's that creamy white that has different little luminescent colors in it, pastels, beautiful color. That's the color that your solar plexus chakra should be emanating. And Archangel Uriel is over that with Lady Master Nada, N-A-D-A. Then we move to the heart chakra. And people who are in touch with their heart chakras will tell you flat out, the heart chakra is not green, it's pink. We had one of my beloved members one day in our physical satsang session in Charlotte. You know, I was saying this, and I said, you know, what color is the heart chakra? She was like, well, it's pink, of course, you know, because she could see it. And it is. That's the third ray, the pink ray. And it's Archangel Camuel and Lady Master Rowena. Then we move to the throat chakra, which is blue-white. That is the first ray, the will of God. And you know who's over the first ray, of course. That would be Archangel Michael and Master El Moya. Very, very busy bringing the divine plan here at this time. The third eye chakra is the fifth ray, which is green. And that's Archangel Raphael and Master Hilarion. And then the one chakra that is not disqualified, there are no negative aspects for this one, would be the crown. The crown is gold and yellow. And Archangel Jophiel and Master Kuthumi. And for those of you who have been raised in the Christian faith, you will know that when you see You'll see paintings from great masters from the Renaissance and all, and you will see behind Jesus or Mary this golden disc around their head. That's exactly because that's what the crown chakra looks like. You know, that's not a mistake. You know, it's not a fluke. People don't understand that these master painters were quite evolved. They had sight. All right. And so for each one, there's a corresponding gland, and there are positive aspects for when that chakra is qualified. And then there are negative aspects for when it's disqualified. But I don't feel that we really need to get into that tonight. That's for people who really do specific gray work. And maybe at some point we will get into that. But I think for this evening, what we just did would be a nice exercise for anybody. Great way to start your day. Great way to end your day. You know, getting everything clear before you go to bed. So you have a new understanding tonight of the chakras, which is always a beautiful thing. So it takes a little bit of training to get your head out of the space of, you know, red, orange, yellow, green, like the whole thing. You have to really kind of retrain yourself. But once you do, it'll be there just like the other is. It's perfect. Okay, so what do we need to talk about this evening? Pielian, do you have anything specific that you want to start off with?
Well, you asked me to, I have to explain. We actually meditate sometimes. Well, we actually meditate every time before we do this. But sometimes we don't know what we're going to talk about prior to us.
Usually. More often than not.
We have no idea. So we ask that while we're in meditation that, you know, maybe it can be brought up what should be talked about. So what came for me was how people are feeling right now. That they're at a point where they're really ready to give up. I felt a tremendous amount of frustration. Like, I'm trying so hard, but it just keeps going. And, you know, that point where you're kind of falling on your knees and you're ready to give up. Mm-hmm. So that came to me as far as being addressed.
So is the question, why is it happening? Or is the question, what do we do about it? What's the focus? Do you have a sense of what you want me to speak to exactly?
What came was, you know, I know that you say, as far as, you know, this is the people that do this work are the people that come in on their knees. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, and I know we've also talked about like how to deal with life and, you know, those three things that we always look at. But what I felt was speaking to the people that are, you know, they're listening every week and they're trying, but yet they're still feeling frustrated.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, of course everything is ramping up right now, you know.
Very much so.
But those that are still feeling like, how do I keep going? Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Yeah. Well, I think the first thing that we would need to look at is why feeling frustrated is a bad thing. Because the automatic assumption there is that it's bad, and it's not. Remember, you are exactly where you need to be right now. And as you spoke to so well, people do have to come to this work on their knees. And there's a very good reason for that. If you come into this work cocky and self-righteous, you will never be humble enough to really begin to look at the personal self. Right? Because from a self-righteous place, well, I'm not gonna go in there and tear apart this beautiful creation of mine, right? And it takes a level of surrender, you know, and that surrender increases and increases exponentially as you do your work. But at the very beginning, you have to come in from a place where you're just ready to just bear everything, you know, to your guide, you know, knowing that, having to trust the guide and knowing that that guide has your back, you know, and as you have spoken before, that the guide's role, you know, is to love you unconditionally, absolutely unconditionally. And they do. Now, that doesn't mean that you will always see it that way, because, of course, you can only see it through your own lens, which is still very much disqualified, right? So you won't see the love in it a lot of times. But anyone, you know, I think I could say that anyone who works with me specifically would say that even though they have had moments where they may have sworn at me, called me all kinds of horrible names, at the end of that process, they could see exactly why, you know, I may have said what I said or acted the way I acted or whatever it was. And they'll understand what was there to be seen in it. And then they do get, wow, like, she really does have my back, because she can see something I can't, right? And the guide for you, whomever that guide may be, you know, that guide for you is the closest representation that you have of God in the physical. And that's something that I saw very clearly for myself last year. It was about a year ago right now. I remember going through a process where there was something in my personal life that was running. And as it happens, when you get quite adept at being outside of the veils, sometimes it gets so subtle that when you go in, you literally can't see it. You just can't see it. And that's the beauty of having a guide, because the guide does see it, you know, and then they'll bring it to your attention. And I remember in my own story that my guide was there to play a role that was exactly what I needed at that moment to snap out of what I was in. But I was only able to do it because I trusted her so completely. Because the outpicturing of what I was seeing was not what I had always thought of as my guide, okay, whom I have the deepest love and admiration for. But what I was seeing was something completely different, right? And that right there was the thing I went, huh, like there was something so different that I knew something wasn't right. But it took, because in the moment, I felt justified in how I was feeling. Right. And that, of course, comes from a self-righteous place. I felt justified. I'm like, well, you didn't see it and I saw it and it was real and blah, blah, blah. Right. And I'm right and you're wrong. And I felt justified in that. But I also have always been, you know, the student who will take anything from that place of humility, and always, regardless of how right I think I am, I will always take it and look objectively at it. Just look at it, you know. And that's what I did in that case. And what I saw was that there was this whole, remember I've spoken many times about the story of the Buddha under the Bodhi tree and how I actually had the experience, and this is where that experience came from, the experience that the story of the Buddha is something that you actually are living every day, but you don't see it. That the demons that the Buddha experienced are all of these things in the world that are constantly pulling at you to get you to engage in their stories, right? And those are those demons. And so you sit under your own Bodhi tree your entire lifetime, and it's this constant movement toward mastery. And I saw this in this particular occasion. And when I realized that, and I realized it because she gave me one thing. I was furious with her in the moment. She gave me one thing. She sent me a text and it said one word on it. And it said, demons. And that was all I got. And I was like, demons? Oh my gosh, like I've got demons? You know? And then as I sat with it and I just really allowed it to kind of filter in, I was like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what's going on. All of this stuff that I'm so committed to defending right now are the demons. And in that moment, what I saw so very clearly was that my guide was God.
it was like that was the one place that I knew. Remember, for the story with the Buddha, just held his focus on the divine, and it was the I am not leaving this spot until I understand, right? Until I've seen truth, until I've reached enlightenment. You can call it whatever you want. And he held his point of focus right there. And as all of the demons came at him, his gaze never wavered, right? And so that's what I saw in that moment, that for me, she was that. And that's all I could see. That whatever seemed to be going on around me, and however real it appeared to be, and it did, that no matter what, that was my focus. It was her. Because I could see her as God. And in that moment, I couldn't see anything else as God, even though, of course, it all is. But I could see her as God, right? And that shifted everything for me. So, and I say this just because this is the relationship between a seeker and the seeker's master. And the relationship builds initially from a bit of a personal place. So a guide will work to kind of get to know you on a personal level, right? And will take on behaviors that you like to take on, that you do yourself. So if you're a big coffee drinker, your master will sit and have coffee with you. If you're a tea drinker, they'll sit and have tea with you. Doesn't matter. They're not going to say, oh, I don't like tea. Generally speaking, they're going to do what you do because they're bonding with you, right? And they do that because it's necessary, because as you continue to move forward in your work, there are going to be times where your challenge is going to be in listening to the guide, because they're going to be bringing something to you that you do not want to look at. And ego is going to fight it, and it's going to fight it, and it's going to fight it. And so you have to hope that the bond that gets created between the guide and the student is strong enough that the student will trust it, right? It doesn't always work that way. There are times where, you know, there's something that's just too challenging for the student, and ultimately they won't trust that connection, and they'll walk away, right? And that's okay. That's okay. Because for whatever reason, the timing was not there for them in that moment. But for most people, that bond is strong enough, and it will hold that. So that's the thing. That's how, you know, it's like you will always know when you have a guide in form that they love you absolutely unconditionally. I mean, you could speak to that better than I can. I can speak to it as a seeker with my guide. You could speak to it as a seeker with your guide, you know, which may sound more trustworthy coming from you because you're not functioning as a guide, right? Do you want to say anything about that?
As far as unconditional love? Well, yes, because, and of course you don't see it right away because you don't really know what unconditional love is, because right. In our normal interactions with people, as much as we want to believe it, it's not really unconditional love. So as my interactions now with Shusara go on, it became clear that she's functioning from a place that everybody else isn't. I mean, she can see things so much clearer than I can, than anybody else can. And, you know, as you start to see through things and make progress, you see that, like, wow, she really knows what she's talking about, and she's really pointing me in the right direction. And that's when you start to realize that that you really truly, no matter how much I screw up or no matter what story I tell you about what I did, things like that, like, it, the way you treat me and what I feel coming from you never changes. It's always there. I can depend on it.
Very good. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And that's very accurate, though, because the way that the guide sees their student is as God. I mean, you're God. How do I not see you as God? And, you know, guides, the beauty is when you are a guide and you have another guide that you can speak to, because it's the one challenge of being a guide is that you don't speak from a personal place to people, right? And so when you have another guide, you actually have an interaction there, which is very unique because they see the world the same way you do. And your students don't see that, but your guide does. And that's very beautiful because it's just, you know, we talked in a program that we did last night for next week. We talked about laughter and how it's just such a huge part of this experience here. And believe me, when you get to that level of where the vast majority of that personal self is dissolved, I mean, you just laugh all the time. So when I'm on the phone, you know, with Atona, because we see things the same way, she can make a comment to me and we will both just, you know, bust out laughing and we'll laugh for the next 2 minutes because it's hysterical, you know, it's just hysterical. So, you know, take heart, all of you. You're all heading in this direction, whether you have a physical guide that works with you or not, or whether you just, you know, you've got one right now on the radio. It is a beautiful thing, and you will know your guide when you meet them. And for however long that they're meant to be in your life, they, you know, it is authentic when, as Kellyanne said, when your guide always holds you in that same space, regardless of what's going on. You know, because the thing is that, you know, it's not different than going to a psychiatrist where you have to bare your soul in order to get anywhere. You're doing the same thing with your spiritual guide. It's the same work on one level, right? Much deeper than that. But there is a psychological component to what we're doing. And it's important that, you know, you're with someone that you feel very safe with. Because let's face it, the things that have to get cleared are the things that you feel ashamed of, right? And I mean, other things too, but seriously, the big anchor points a lot of times revolve around shame. And you have to completely trust someone to bring something out that you wouldn't dare say to anybody else, right? But now you're going to have to say it to me, or else you're never going to clear it, right? And that takes a lot of trust. And it's my responsibility, and any guide out there, it's your responsibility to be able to not see the behavior and not see the personality, but to see God right there. And we can function with, you know, what's happening with the behavior and personality, but I don't see that as you. And if you have someone who sees you in the personality, what's going to happen is they will come into their own space of judgment, right? If they're holding on to this a concept and you bring something up that's really shameful and they have an opinion, a personal opinion about it, and they're going to hold that, then actually that's going to come through their work with you, you know, and they could end up diminishing you in that. So you don't ever want to be working with someone where you walk away feeling diminished, right? Now, there can be times where a guide will allow you to feel diminished. You brought it on yourself and they're going to let you sit in it because sometimes you have to sit in it in order to get to a place where you can go in deep enough to move through it, and that's fine. But it's a rare case where the guide would specifically do something that would diminish, you know, your sense of self in that moment. And if it happened, it would be because it had to. So, yeah. I don't even know how we got on the whole topic about being a guide. How did that happen?
Well, we were talking about people feeling frustrated. But I would like to say, because now we, you know, we're bringing this up and, you know, we're here every week, you know, for people. But if people have questions, they can definitely write in if they are having a you know, if they want something that we can, you know, respond to on the air, things like that, may even be able to be open to working, you know, something. But you could talk to that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's a good timing for that point. You know, we always have, what do we set up the questions for Shusada at theshambhalacenter.org. That's open all the time. So anybody who has a question, you know, we absolutely welcome them and would love to bring them on the air. It can be difficult for us to actually take calls on the air only because the nature of the work can involve some, you know, just a lot of very in-depth back and forth. You can't just give a guide like a very blanket question concerning your personal experience and expect an answer because there's too much there. And the guide has to be able to get in there with you to actually see it through your lens. That's the best way I can describe it. You are seeing something through a very specific lens, and the guide's job is actually to go in and see it through your lens. Because when they see it through your lens, now they can walk you out, right? But they aren't going to see it the way you see it because they don't see that way anymore. So they have to be able to go in. And I'll never forget when I realized that with my guide. I mean, I sobbed when I realized that because it showed me the level of service that she was giving me, because I was sitting here in such pain for what I was moving through in my personal life. And I said to her at one point, we were on the phone because she was many miles away from me. And I just said, you have to actually be able to go in and see it from my place, don't you? And she said, yes, I do. And I just like lost it. I absolutely just lost it. I was like, oh my God, thank you. Thank you. You know, I couldn't get over that sense of gratitude that, wow, you would actually do that for me. You know, who am I to you when you would actually do that for me? And that is the mark of, you know, someone who truly is of service, that they will do that for you. And they do it, and they're honored to do it. You know, it's not about what they're going to get from you. It's about the service that they can render to you. And that is the greatest gift, to watch a student actually go in and do their own work, and through the help that you can offer them, to watch them blossom into this gorgeous creature that begins to remember, you know, their divine nature, and then they begin to actually express it in the world. I mean, that's, you know, that's the greatest gift ever. It's amazing. It's just amazing. So yeah, please, if you have questions, always feel free to email us questions for Shusada, and or just go to the shambhalacenter.org website, and I think you can do a contact us thing, like whatever works for you. We'll make it easy. And I'm also going to say tonight briefly, because I have not plugged PLAN yet, and I need to, because PLAN is, she does very special energy work, and this is a time. Many of you out there may do energy work, and a lot of people in the past have always kind of followed certain traditions like Reiki and things like that. But what has happened more and more in the past handful of years is that people are waking up to their, let's call it memory, of their own form of energy work that doesn't have a name in the world, right? And it just is what it is. It makes it a little challenging for people who work like that, because people are like, well, so do you do Reiki? And you're like, no, I don't do Reiki. And then when you say that, they think you're doing something that's, you know, less admirable or something, because they have no context for it. But the reality is that the work that comes through is incredibly strong. And the beautiful thing that I've watched with PLAN as she started to do her work more often is she started doing work with one of my students in particular. And it was so cool, because to this day, she will work with this student. And then when I see the particular student the same week, what we find is that the information that's coming through me is the same information that came through her, a little differently, certainly, because we work very differently. But the message that's coming through is always in complete alignment with what's moving with the student. And so I've had the honor of watching her blossom in her work, and it is very powerful. So if there are people out there who are interested in having remote energy work done, unless you happen to be in the Charlotte area and want to see her personally, you can certainly email her at plan@theshambhalacenter.org. And you spell her name P-I-E-L-L-E-A-Y-A-N, P-L-A-N. And you can contact her about that, set that up. So good. I feel good about that. I've been wanting to do that for a really long time. Tonight was a good night for it. She really is something special with her work. So, okay, so what else do we need to hit tonight? We've got like what? Not quite 5 minutes. Yeah. Anything else that we want to talk? Oh, did I even really answer the frustration thing?
Well, I think you did, but in a roundabout way. But that's kind of how you answer questions.
We'll get there eventually.
No, I think, well, maybe. I don't know. It for me, it answered it. I was like, oh, wow, that makes so much sense. And then you went down this whole other explanation that added to it.
Yes. Okay, so the frustration is not a bad thing. I did say that. Mm-hmm. It's necessary for people to be brought to their knees now. Okay, the ego has been so strong for so long, it doesn't give up, and it doesn't give up easily. It goes kicking and screaming all the way to the very, very end. Okay, so it is necessary, and we're going to continue to see it in the world where people are going to like literally be on their last rope before they look for something like what we offer. And that's okay. Because if that's what it takes, then that's fine with me. Okay. And there, you know, if you don't come from that place, most people just aren't, they just aren't ready for the work because it would just be too challenging for them. And sometimes it takes, you know, watching your world fall apart on the outside and watching it fall apart on the inside too. You know, I mean, I was an example of that. It was being held together pretty well on the outside, but the inside was, you know, crumbling. And I sensed it. And I remember wondering to myself on many occasions, you know, geez, I wonder how close I am to that line between sane and you just went over the deep end. You know, where is that line exactly? Because I must be right there, you know, and I could recognize it. And so a lot of people now probably are moving pretty close to that space. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is just that it takes that kind of thing for most people to really start to seek outside of themselves and outside of their kind of worldly regular modes of functioning. You know, like alcohol doesn't do it for me anymore and drugs don't do it for me anymore. And my psychologist, you know, I don't seem like I'm getting anywhere there. And I've been on antidepressants for 10 years now and I'm still dealing with the same thing. You know, like, it takes kind of that stuff for people to finally wake up and say, well, maybe there is something else, you know. And that's just kind of where we're sitting. And the energies will just continue to come. So, like, I feel like a broken record here, but I have to say again, you know, we are looking at the dissolution of an entire paradigm of reality. And the inner sense of separation has to just fall apart. And with it is, of course, the outer world, because the outer world is just a reflection of the inner world. So we're watching the outer world really start to crumble, you know, banking systems and earthquakes and tsunamis and volcanoes and you name it. And it's all going on. And just, I would say for people who are feeling fearful about it, don't be fearful. You knew when you came in that this was coming. And you do have everything within you to move through this. Remember, you know, you already have all the answers inside of yourself because you are the answers. You don't know the answers. You are the answers, right? And it's just right now you're veiled. And because you're veiled, you aren't experiencing that part of yourself. But as things continue to move, you will more and more experience your divine knowing. And you will understand that you really are fully prepared to move through this. Okay. But not from a place of fear. So regardless of what's happening in the moment, stay present. Just stay present. You know, it's not your job to project out and figure out what do I have to do, you know, to get there. Just be here right now. You know, very Ram Dass, be here now. And it's a beautiful statement because it's very true. Just be here now. Now, that doesn't mean that you neglect the physical world because you're here until you're not. And don't forget that either, because a lot of people go into denial over that. Oh, it doesn't matter. It's just illusion anyway, blah, blah. No, no, no. That won't work because you're still in it. Don't, you can't try to convince yourself that you're out of something that you're not out of yet, right? So take care of what you have to take care of in the world. Okay, so we're going to do a beautiful song tonight by Joanne Shenandoah, and it's called Prophecy Song, and we'll do this as our meditation for the show to end. And I love the beginning when she says you're being recognized in the spirit world, because that's exactly what's going on right now. So this song couldn't be better. So for all of you, we will see you next week. Much, much love to you, and enjoy the meditation. Good night.
Thank you.